as we turn to Genesis, beginning in Genesis, meaning the beginning, and it's in the beginning of our copies of the scripture. Chapter 18, beginning at verse 16. Genesis, chapter 18, beginning at verse 16. We'll be reading from the New King James Version of Scripture, and we'll be reading to the end of chapter 18. Genesis, chapter 18, beginning at verse 16. See so many of you with copies of the Scriptures open, and that really means a lot. Amen. For the people of God to have the Word with them when they come. Amen. Where you can follow along with the preaching. And those of you also that have devices. All right. When you find it, it reads, "Then the man rose from there and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very great, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the man turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for a lack of 5? So he said, if I found there 45, I will not destroy. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30. He said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. He said, I will not destroy for the sake of 20. Then he said, Lord, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10. Should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's see. Let's see what thus saith the Lord.
All right.
Amen. I want to talk about priestly prayer. priestly. Priestly praying. Y'all with me?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time we think about priests, we think about like the Catholic priest. But we're going to see that not all, we are all priests. Amen. Let's look at that. Priestly prayer. A priest, when you think of a priest, think of priest and prophet. I think the best way for me to help you understand what a priest does is distinguish between what a priest does and what a prophet does. Both of them represent, in a way. The prophet represents God before man. The prophet says to man what God would have him say. He comes as a representative of God and says, "This is what thus saith the Lord." That's the prophet. The priest, on the other hand, represents man before God. The priest says, "God, I come before you on behalf of mankind."
All right.
So that's the difference. The priest represents man before God, and the prophet represents God before man.
All right.
In priestly prayer, what I'm talking about, is when we pray, we'll represent God, we'll represent mankind in prayer. We are praying for mankind. That's what Abraham was doing. He's praying for mankind to God. He's praying on behalf of mankind to God. Another word we use for this kind of praying is intercession. Y'all say that with me. Intercession. Intercession is interceding. That means you know somebody that has a need and you're praying for them. You're representing them before God with that need.
Yes, sir.
Last week, I asked, and you can still do it if you've forgotten last week, that your homework was to bring four names of people that are lost. And we were going to put that. I got the bottle for it. I got some names. If you didn't have an address, you can still add it.
All right.
Amen. If we're going to put them in a jar. And I got a jar with a little hole at the top, and you make your thing kind of big so it can't come out. That way, nobody can get to your list. Because somebody tried to get to your list and figure out. As we're going to put them in here, we're going to pray for them.
Yes.
Now, we're going to pray for some today. If you haven't got your, you still got time to get it in before the end of service. But also, we'll be praying for these things for a few months on the second and the fourth Sunday. We praying for those lost friends, neighbors,
yes,
whatever, whoever for you put in today. Now, I'm going to ask you next week to bring four more. These are the four you're going to bring next week is people with strongholds.
Amen.
Okay. All right? These people, you know, may be saved, may not. But they have an addiction,
yes,
or a problem or a struggle, and they're losing a lot.
Yeah. Amen.
All of us have struggles, but they're losing a lot.
Yeah.
They're losing there. And we want them to come from the losing side and become victorious in their struggle.
Amen.
So you'll have four that are lost and four that are struggling and losing. Alright? And we'll be praying for God on behalf of every, you know, now this is just as a congregation, we're going to pray every second and fourth Sunday. That don't mean you have to wait. You can be interceding between those days. Y'all got it?
Amen.
Now listen. Prayer. Let me talk just about prayer for a little bit, kind of get y'all in before I get into the text. I'm trying to move as quickly as possible. Listen, prayer. Sometimes when we're trying to explain prayer, we use the acronym ACTS, like the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. And each one of those letters stand for a type of prayer, or a part of prayer. A for adoration. That's when we tell God, you know, how much we love him, how much he means to us. We kind of adore him. We tell him what he means to us. See, don't just skip the asking. That's it. God, here's my list. I need this, need this, need this, need this. All right, thank you, Lord. Appreciate it. Don't just skip asking. There's always some time when you have this talk with God. And share with God, because just like you like people to share with you from time to time what they mean to you, God does too. God likes to share this, so it should be adoration. How great he is. Because sometimes when you talk about how great God is, all, you know, and how powerful he is, how loving he is, by the time you get to the prayer, you don't build yourself up so. You just thank God can do anything. Amen. Which is what he's supposed to go in the prayer. Thank him to do anything. Because he can't do anything.
Amen.
But sometimes you forget that. But adoration will remind you of how great your God is. And then there's confession. Confession is when you're praying in the spirit, like we say on First Sunday, kind of brings those things to your life where you messed up that day or that weekend. You need to make a U-turn.
Amen.
You need to make a U-turn in the area and say, oh God, I messed up. I need to make you turn. I need you to help me to get back on the right track. Thank you, God, for loving me so much. You let Christ die for my sin. Therefore, I can enjoy the forgiveness of my sin. Forgive me and give me power to overcome. That's confession. Then there's thanksgiving. Before you ask him, I want you to thank him for what he's already done.
Yes, sir.
So sometimes when you get to thank him, so I mean, I don't even know if I want to ask for nothing. You've been so good.
Yeah.
Hey, count your blessings.
Yes.
Name them one by one.
Yes.
And you'll see what the Lord has done.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but sometimes when you know, at night when you're tossing and turning.
Sure.
And you can't, you know, sleep. Count your blessings. Don't count the sheep. That's what you need. You just start counting and you figure out how good God is. You just go on sleep. Count your blessings. Just think about how good he's been to you. Because our world, the world that we live in, often is trying to make you dissatisfied with how good God has been. Trying to make you dissatisfied with your life. Y'all believe that? You look at TV. You got caught 3 or 4 years old and they show that new one. Because they want you to be dissatisfied with you. Amen. You look at the shows I look at, you know, God done bless you with a nice house. And you start looking at house hunters, you see a nice house. That looks really good. Or home makeover. Oh, I think I'm going to get my little home makeover. Satan is trying to make you dissatisfied with what you got. But if you always keep thanking God, amen. Thanking God, then you can appreciate God. You know, I'm blessed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank God just for your help.
Yes.
I'm just so glad that I can just stand here this morning.
Yes.
Amen. Because if it wasn't for God, I may not be standing here.
Yes, sir.
I could be in a hospital room hooked up to all kinds of machines like I have before. Amen. I can have all kinds of, but I'm able to stand and hang out with y'all and have friends and do the thing that he created me to do. Amen. I don't know how long I'm going to have out there, but I'm going to do it every day. I just thank God for letting me every day. I thank God if you let me do it one more time.
Yes.
But I know even if you would have cut me off last night, you would have been justified.
Yes.
Because I ain't been that good.
Yes.
So thank God. And then lastly, supplication. That's when you ask for what you need. And then acronym. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication when you ask for the things that you need from God. Hopefully somewhere in that asking, it'll be more than stuff.
Yes.
Somewhere you're asking, say, God, I need the power to live a holy life.
Yes.
And we don't really ask for that. That's what we really need. The power to live a life that pleases Him. Now, in one I left out of what we're talking about today, that's intercession. Intercession may be the most difficult of all. Because in most of those things I just said, you just need two people. You the one that's speaking and God. You and God is just the two people. But in intercession, there's three. Because there's the one who's speaking. That's you. You're the one who's speaking. There's the one who you're speaking to. That's God. And there's the one you're speaking for. That's the one you know got a need. Y'all with me so far? So you got all three. And as you speak, number one, you got to know that the one you're speaking to is powerful.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
You're speaking to somebody that's powerful and loving enough to use his power on your behalf.
Amen. Yes.
And then you got to know the needs of the one you're speaking for.
Yes.
Now, it may not always be the presenting need. Or sometimes what you see ain't really the need.
That's right.
What you see is the fruit of the need. But you really don't need to be addressing the fruit.
Yes.
You need to be addressing the root.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes.
Amen. If somebody having financial difficulties, it's not that might be the fruit.
Right. Right.
But what is the root of it? Maybe they're covetous.
All right.
Or proud. Or like discipline. Then that's what you need to be praying. That's all right. After you pray for the root, say, Lord, all right, help me get back on track. But always, if you know the root, address the root of the problem. So you got, hey, you take the need, and you're the connection. You are the bridge.
Yeah.
Like that song, I don't know who brought it out. Why you like that song that we're the same bridge over troubled water? That's what you are. You a bridge from the need to God. That's what a priest does. You're representing, because the person that had the need may not be able to represent themselves.
Amen.
So you are like a lawyer. And you said, I'm his advocate. I'm a lawyer. I'm her lawyer. I'm coming before you, God, because she has a need. And maybe she's not in the right relationship, or he's not in the right relationship to bring that need before you. So I'm bringing it before you on his or her behalf.
Yes, sir.
Because I know you can do something about it.
Yeah,
I know you can do something about it. So that's what intercession is. It's one of the greatest. That's one of the greatest things you can do is be an intercessor. And anybody can be an intercessor. If you're in the hospital, you can be an intercessor. Along with you in your right mind. If you're in the nursing home, you can be an intercessor. Because you're just taking people before God.
Yes.
With needs. You don't have no special talent to be an intercessor.
Yes.
All you got to do is have the right relationship with God.
Yes.
And have had some time of intimacy with God. And that's where we see Abraham today. Abraham had some time with intimacy. When you read the whole chapter and a little bit back and forth, you see Abraham had sat down and ate with God. It was three people. Let me show you how when you read what it's going to be. It's three men that came up. But one is actually God. And he comes in a what we call an anthropomorphic or a theophany. That's when God comes in the form, and especially in the Old Testament, as a man. But you'll always know, because somewhere in the context, it addresses him as the Lord. Yeah. You'll know, hey, he might have came, looked like a man. He might have walked like a man, ate like, but it was the Lord. And he sat down and ate with Abraham. So Abraham had ate with God. He had talked with God. He walked with God. Abraham had all those intimate experiences with God. And then, you know, the two men, those angels, the other two men were angels, we'll see if you read that in chapter 19. The angels went on into the city. But Abraham, he said, I'm going to stay with God a little while. I need that man. And God was talking to Abraham and said, Abraham, come here. I don't know if I should tell you this.
Right, right.
You know when somebody said that, you really listen. You probably wouldn't listen for it. I don't know if I should tell you this or not. Abraham, but since you know, since we are friends, I guess I can share this with you. Abraham, I've heard the outcry. And that word outcry means like somebody who's being oppressed, and somebody's being abused, and somebody's been taken advantage of, and somebody's been trumped on, and they're crying out for justice. They're crying out for somebody to come to their rescue. And God says, I've heard the outcry of Sodom.
Yes.
I've heard the outcry.
Yeah.
I've heard people. I want to tell you, you hear, you've been crying out, God hears you. You be going to some struggle, God hears your struggle. God knows where you're at. He hears where you're at. God knows your outcry. He knows where you've been abused. He knows that young woman has been taken advantage of. Maybe molested. He knows your outcry. He knows that older person who's forgotten, he knows your outcry. Whatever situation you might be in, God knows as you cry. God said, I've heard it, Abraham. And since I am a God of justice and I'm a righteous God, I'm going to have to go down and destroy.
Yes, yes.
Go down and destroy. Because I just can't, because my nature is God, I just can't let sin go unpunished.
Yes.
But you know what God was really doing? God, in his intimacy with Abraham, was inviting Abraham to intercede. I'm going to let you know this because I need somebody.
Yes.
Listen. Let me show you what I'm talking about. God can do whatever he wants to do by himself.
Yes.
Because he's God.
Yes.
But he designed the situation in his sovereignty to work through prayer.
Yes.
Amen.
And that is the way it works. So God said, he wanted Abraham to pray because he wanted to be an answer. He wanted to try to be, to fix the situation. But he needs somebody to pray. Sometimes I have to go to the bank to my safe deposit box. Not very much in there. Just important paper. Ain't no diamond. That's all I got, like some people really have. We did a lot of paper and stuff like that. Wheels, stuff like that. And I go down there. But you know, even though I got a key, I can't get in the safe deposit box.
Yes,
by myself.
Right.
Because it takes two keys.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. First, the banker has to get his key. He can't get in by himself.
Okay. Right.
We both had to have a key. He had to use his key. And then I have to use my key.
Yes.
That's why we pray. God got a key to the answer.
Yeah.
But God said, I designed that I'm not going to answer you unless you pray. So your prayer is key. God said, I'm waiting to do it. I want to do it. But I designed to do it. I can't do it until you pray for me to do it. I can do it. But in my sovereignty, in my providence, I'm going to wait for you to ask for it.
Yes, sir.
I can give it to you, but I want you to bring your key.
Yes.
So, Abraham, you got to ask. So, then he wanted Abraham, I think, to pray for Sodom.
Yes.
Abraham comes and preaches the prayer. You know, the thing I like about that, I think probably the main person that Abraham was concerned about was Lot.
Yes.
Right. Well, Lot is nephew.
Uh-huh.
Nephew down there. But notice, when Abraham prays, he does not just pray
for his nephew. Lord, bless my nephew. He prays for all the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you know Sodom and Gomorrah is a rough folk.
Yeah.
You talking about hood. If you don't believe that rough folk, you look down to chapter 19. You know, chapter 19, those angels that went on before Christ, those angels, Abraham had them up in the house, and some guys gathered around the house. Amen. They gathered around the house and said, hey, listen here. Those two angels that came over, that you got in your house, Abraham, look kind of good to us. Man, they are man sanders now. So send them out to us. Amen. So we can do what we want to do with them. Amen. And they have good things in mind to do with them. And Abraham said, I'm responsible for them. They're under my hospitality. I'm not going to do this. And they tried to bust in the house. Just overpower Abraham. But the angels struck him blind. And Abraham has some issues too in this. Well, Abraham going to offer his daughter. What are you doing, Abraham? What are you doing? So not even Abraham was perfect. Y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He offered dogs, but they saw them for their escape because like this. Guy blind, they couldn't find the door, and they were able to be protected. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of crazy war. And they were just cruel, barbaric, violent things. So he was praying for these type of people.
Yes.
And I do want to point this out. I do want to point this out, my brothers and sisters. So often, God in another portion talks about the violence and how they didn't care about the poor and why Sodom was destroyed. Now, most of the time, us from our context, we say Sodom was destroyed because of the homosexuality that existed inside. Homosexuality is a sin. We believe that if you look at our statement and our values, not our values, but what it basically called, what the thing that we hold important, what we believe in. And it says in there, because we believe that God designed male and female to marry one another, that we think it's a sin for a man to be with a man or woman to be with a woman. In the same way she's with a man, we say we won't conduct marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's enough. We won't conduct a man because we think it's sin. But listen here, y'all. It's not the worst sin. We try to make it above all other things. But I'm telling you, God could have said the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed because, we got same-sex issues. But he said, no, that's not why I'm destroying. That's one of the problems they have. But they're violent and they're cruel and they see people that are needy and they won't help.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, don't let that sin be always the top sin in the world, like it's the worst sin in the world.
Amen.
They struggle. There's no worse than a sin of people sleeping together and not married. I'm just saying like it is.
Amen.
I'm saying somebody that's drunk and stay drunk and fall down drunk.
Sin.
Or somebody being greedy.
Amen.
And cheating people out of money and things. All those are sins. Don't try to make that happen. So you should, if you love other people who do, see, you love people. A lot of people that you love that you know do sinful things.
It's true.
So why can't you do that with that person too? Because that's the only way we're going to be able to forgive.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Even though we might hate what they do, but we got to love them. Mm-hmm. They're like we love everybody else. So that's what Christ calls us.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to put that in as we go. So Abraham cried out. Look at Abraham said, Abraham said, okay, God. I know you got to destroy it. I know you that can't let evil go.
Yeah.
But God, I know you are just.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know you're a good God. You're always going to do things right. So God, tell me this. What if 50 of them that living right, doing what you want them to do, righteous?
Yeah.
Will you destroy the city? Because now, if you destroy the whole city, you destroy the 50 righteous too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then God says, okay, Abraham, if I can find 50, I'll spare the city.
Yes.
I'll, basically what he was saying, I'll forgive the city.
Yeah.
Abraham went, oh. Okay. May not be 50. Well, God, what if I subtract 5? What about, what do you find 45, God? Well, you just started seeing if it's 45, doing the right thing, dread run. God said, oh, yeah, okay. Okay, Abraham. I tell you what, I'll do 45. All
right.
And then Abraham. What about 40? You know, sometimes like some of y'all be trying to borrow with somebody. You say, when you take, wait a minute, I ain't got that much. When you do, what about with 40? What about with 40 right today? When you destroy the city, with 40 good people now? No. I swear, I'm forgiving the 40. What about 30, God? See, God was like some other. God said, I'll tell you what, we're going to go back up to 70. That'll get you keep going. That'll get you keep on going down. What about 30, God? I swear I'm with that, Abraham. I'm pretty wicked. God, what about 20? If I find 20 righteous people there,
yeah.
I swear.
Asking no more now.
Keep asking. He probably getting on God's nerve. Okay, God, I'm asking one more time. This is my last offer. God, what if I find 10? God said, if you find 10, I suppose. What Abraham was really exploring was how much does God love righteousness.
Jesus.
How much do you love the righteous enough that if it's 10 righteous, you'll spread a whole city?
Lord Jesus.
Because you know they all together. If you just got this 10, but no, Abraham left. I wonder if he'll go down and say, Lord, what if it's just one?
Jesus.
He was exploring how, God, how much do you love righteousness? Would you, if I got 10 righteous, would you spread the city for the 10? What about? I wanted you to ask God if it's just one. Because you, really, my brothers and sisters, he destroyed the city because there was none right.
Yes.
The Bible says that. There's none righteous. No, not one.
Uh-huh.
See, the wood destroyed. But because God said, God remembered how Abraham prayed. So when he destroyed the city, he went down in grace. Even though Lot had got some bad traits too, because he's living in the city too comfortable. He has no compromise. But because Abraham interceded for him,
yeah,
the angels went down and got Lot and his family out.
Yeah.
Taking them on safety. And the angels said, now don't look back.
Right.
Don't look back, just look forward. I'm saving you out of here. But there were one.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if she had left her best comfort in
life.
I don't know if she had left a fur.
Right.
Or she forgot to take down her drapes. Or her china.
Yeah.
But there was one. And she looked back.
that was the last look. You understand what I'm saying? Are you that kind of an intercessor that Abraham was? Would you keep going to God?
Yes.
Abraham kept going to God. Oh God. 40, 30, 20, 10? Persistence. If you're going to be those people that you put in here, don't just pray for them one time. You got to be persistent in prayer and keep going to God until you see God move. Unless God just tell you don't come back no more. That's not that now. That place in the Bible. Don't pray for them no more. Too late. But as long as God don't tell you to come back, you keep praying for that person, that God will change that person and bring him back. Abraham was that kind of intercessor. But you know, we had another priest too. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's the high priest.
Yes.
Amen. And he intercedes for us. Don't you know Jesus is in heaven right now praying for you?
Yes.
Interceding for me. You know, nobody else is praying for you. Christ is interceding for you. He's representing you before God. And they accuse other brethren. Satan comes time and time again. And Satan said, look at him. Look at her. I don't even know why he saved.
Yes, Lord have mercy. Lord
much
have
stuff they done.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, Lord, you know. Other folks didn't know, but you know what they done.
Yes,
or you know what's in the closet.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. You know what they done in the dark.
Yes.
You remember what they done to everybody else and forgot about it. You know they ain't got no business. Got to be one of your people. Oh, hallelujah, glory, glory.
Right.
After all the stuff they done.
Yeah.
They deserve hell. They deserve to be condemned. And they talking about they saved the saints.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then Jesus, our turn to come before.
Yeah. Come on.
God ain't no help. I guess he started got a point. Yeah, they messed up. But look here, God. Look at the nail prints in my
hand. That's all right. That's all right.
Look at the spear print in my side. Look at the prints that was in the thorn around my head. Yes, they done wrong, but their fine has already been paid. It's already been paid. I've already served their sentence. That's why they sinners. I mean, that's why they saints. That's why they in the church. Because I paid for all the stuff they done. I paid for the closet stuff. I paid for the stuff they done in the dark. I paid for all the stuff that nobody else knew about. I paid for it. And then I sent my spirit to change it.
Yeah.
He's a priest. He's a high priest. That intercedes for us. And he, because he became human, he know what we're going through. Because he was tempted in every way, just as we are.
Yes.
It means like at every point. I don't care how, if you've been tempted, and all of us have probably been tempted at some point. Sometimes it's weaker, and sometimes you get something that's a strong temptation. Because it might be in your area of weakness. Jesus said, I don't care what level of temptation you've experienced, I've been there.
Yes.
I know what you're going through. And that's why I'm interceding. Look at what it says, Peter. Peter, Satan had desired to have you.
Yeah.
Then he can sift.
Yeah,
want to sift. He want to take the best of you.
Yeah.
And leave the worst of you. He desired to have you that he can sift you. He's going to shake you up. Shake up your life and try to turn you around.
Yeah.
Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But Peter, I pray for you. And then the strange thing, said Peter, what he prayed for, he said, that when you return, come with me. He knew Peter was going to mess up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm praying for you. So when you, after you mess up, you turn around, I'm going to still use you. Oh, he's interceding for us. But then lastly, Abraham interceded. Just as Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, just as Jesus interceded for us. God called us a royal priesthood.
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 4, 1:14-16, we are royal priesthood. We are all priests. That's why, you know, when you come to here, come to the back, you know, we ain't got no booth. Like you do in the Catholic Church. We don't have nothing in the Catholic Church. But we don't have no booth. Where you come in and confess the thing. You know, I got a couple things to be. You know, I listened. Listened three times.
All right.
And then, oh, well, Lord, smoke a little weed. And then you get two or three things you done. And then the preacher tells you what you got to do. You go back and then you know, say a couple of Hail Marys here and whatever. And it'll be all right. We don't have to go to a priest anymore. Because we are priests. We don't need somebody to stand before God for us.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Because we can stand before God for ourselves. There was a time in the Holy of Holies, in the temple, where only the high priest could go one time a year.
Yes.
And he had to go before God, represent us, and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat.
Yes.
Every year he had to do that, cover up your sin for 1 year. The high priest, because nobody else going there but the high priest. And the high priest had to make sure when he went in there, he done washed up right. Because
right.
If he went in there wrong,
yeah.
They had to drag him out. That's why they tied that rope to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're going there again. We've been there 2 or 3 days. You just drag him on out because he's going in there wrong.
Amen.
He had to go in there right. But because he went before God and all the Holy Spirit. But now, after Jesus died, when Jesus was dying, the Bible says that curtain that separated everybody from the Holy of Holies, it was torn.
Yeah.
And the reason why it was torn is so now you don't need nobody going there for you. You can go to God for yourself.
Yeah.
Pray for yourself. Pray for others. You got access to God. I might say, hey, go pray for me. Hey, I can go to God for God. No, I messed up. I go say, hey, I don't need nobody to give me how many Hail Marys to do. God, I messed up.
Yes.
Forgive me. Give me strength to do better. Give me, God, give me a strategy. Sometimes you need a strategy. He'll give you wisdom. He caught them with that. If you need wisdom, he'll give you. Sometimes you need wise strategy. You need some wisdom. How can I not make this mistake again? How can I avoid the truth? The trigger. Because usually activities have triggers. There's something that triggers and causes you to go back to that activity. How can I avoid these triggers in you? He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. So you can live, so you can be more victorious in that thing that you're struggling with. But the good thing about it, the thing he wants us to do as believers, just like Abraham did for Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Jesus does for us, he wants us to do it. When the last time you prayed for somebody over and over again? When the last time you saw a need that's so pressed against your heart? Hopefully knows that name that you put, that need was so pressed against your heart, you praying for. Men that are here, if you're leaders of family, you are the priest of your family.
Sure.
You're going to be taking your family before God. Job did. Job, always, he knew them kids and messed up. He always sacrificed for them. They said, you got to go before, I'm going to pray for him. You got to go to the Lord. So you should know now, you all know the needs of your family. Wife, what she need. Your children, what they need. Grandchildren, you ought to be the preacher something, God. But you know, a lot of times we just spend so much time on the peripheral.
Sure.
Peripheral stuff. We don't have time to go to God. And if there's no man in the house, mothers, you got to be. You got to go there. Good thing about it, you don't have to add mothers too much.
Amen.
You
Both of us, a lot of us, especially, a lot of us got here because we had a praying mother. A praying grandma. Amen. Because sometimes mom was a little young, got with the street a little while, so until mom came out the street, grandma had to pray.
Yes.
And grandma prayed mom out the street. But until mom got out the street, she was praying for you. That's why you made it. You didn't make it because you were so good. You didn't make it because you were lucky. You didn't make it because you had a rabbit foot, or the rabbit foot didn't even have the rabbit. You made it because somebody was praying for you. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on the... Oh, I wish I had a witness. That's how you made it. Somebody was praying for you. That's how I made it. Somebody was praying for me. Sometimes when I think about it, amen, all the praises I did back when I was young, I said, the only way I made it because somebody was praying for me. Yeah. Had me on their mind. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness. Who's been on your mind? Who has God given you an invitation to intercede for? God said, you know, I want to set them free.
Yes.
I want to save them. I got the key. But I need you to bring your key.
Yes.
I want to unlock the trap that they're in.
Yes.
I got the key.
Yes.
But I need you to bring your key. Because it takes both keys.
Jesus.
To unlock this thing.
Amen.
That's holding me. Would you ever see? God's called me. That's all he's asking us to do. That's all I think he wanted me to do today to tell you. Come and ask. You ever see for your family and for your friends and for your co-workers and for your neighbors?
Yes.
Spend some time just calling on God. God, I know they don't know you. That's why you like this song, Can You Help a Friend?
Yes.
You're the only one that can. Woo! I wish I had a witness in here. I know he not only can, but he will. But he needs you to bring your key. And the key that he needs you to bring is intercession. Intercession. It's such a wonderful thing. See, you see change broken. See, you see life turn around. That's why I wanted us to be intercession. Because I want life to start being turned around. And you can come. Say, Pastor, I got a testimony. I know we don't have to pay for testimony. But you just say, wait for me. You're trying to let church. No, no, Pastor. I got to have my need to say. I put this name in the jar.
Yeah.
And I've been interceding. I've been praying. I've been calling on God to move on behalf of this person. And God, he done moved, Pastor.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Lives have been changed. Lives have been made different.
Yes.
Somebody pray for me. Had me on their mind. Thank you, Lord. Come on, sister musician.
Thank you, Lord.
Our brothers of Connecticut County gonna come up.
Jesus.
Anybody got any more names going here? Y'all got the name? You got the name? Then bring them on up.
Oh.
they got good personalities, and they got good morals, but they ain't saved, God. Please, please.